from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Summer Family and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, July the 6th, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on Sick Because of Sin. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Psalm 91. He who dwells, sits, abides in the shelter of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when you're under the shadow of the Almighty, can I tell you, that's a good scripture for these days. The atmosphere under His shadow changes if you walk under the shadow of the Almighty. I texted my grandson a few days ago, and he was asking me to pray for someone he was witnessing to. And I told him to give God pleasure. He was saying, pray that I don't be tempted by anything that's going on. And I said, you just walk under His shadow, and you'll change the atmosphere. Amen? Well, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's where I want to live. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. Now, I'm under God's shadow, and I'm submitted to the Lord as much as I know how, as many of you are, totally yielded to the Lord. But then I have a problem. God's trying to show me that something's sticking out. That's kind of a weird illustration. But I learned that, you know, used to deal with satanic ritual abuse, people that come out of Satanism. And so when I would be attacked, I'd say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Because the Bible says the folly of a fool is his discipline. And so that would just lead me to, you know, the Bible says the scepter of wickedness will not rest on the land of the righteous. And so if Satan attacks you and it sticks, or it gets you down or depresses you, then you need to look for the answer. Look for where you're outside of God's refuge. But the fiery darts are flying. Satan attacks us all the time, but we just take up the shield of faith. And it blocks the fiery darts of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Okay, it says, for He delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence, that sickness. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day. The arrows are flying. But just take, when you're walking in God's armor, Monty said, I keep it all. Yeah. The enemy cannot do anything God doesn't let him do. Yeah. It says, you'll not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day or the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not approach you. You'll only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because I made the Lord my refuge. Even the Most High my habitation, no evil shall befall me, nor will any plague come near my dwelling. So if I've got a plague in my dwelling, I need to find something. I need to find out where I'm not under God's refuge. Go to Exodus 15, please. Basically, I'm just going to read scriptures to you because He sent His word to heal you. So I do believe my words anyway. Exodus 15. Verse 25. Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and this was the children of Israel. They were out of water, and so they cried out to the Lord, and He showed them a tree which represented Christ. And He said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, that means stretch out your ear, listening is what it means, and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, used to be your healer. I, the Lord, am your healer, which in modern Hebrew means I am your doctor. Okay, Exodus 23:22. It says, be on guard before him in verse 21 and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgressions since my name is in him. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. What a promise. And an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and that's a picture of the powers of darkness in the spiritual enemies. And I will, this was real enemies in the Old Testament, but physical enemies, but now it represents spiritual enemies, and I will completely destroy them. You shall not worship their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their deeds. But you shall utterly overthrow them and break their sacred pillars in pieces. But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water and will remove sickness from your midst. Now that's a promise. God's promises are conditional. Okay, go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Verse 12. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness which he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, your grain, your new wine, and your oil, the increase of your herd, the young of your flocks, your land which he swore to your fathers to give you. That's your stuff, your possessions. You know, some of you are dealing with issues of poverty or lack. Hey, God wants to bless you. It says you shall be blessed above all peoples. Then you're blessed with all peoples. There will be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. The Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have been afraid or you've known, and he will lay them on all who hate you. So you see, we better not hate anybody. You shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. You shall not pity them, nor have serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. Verse 18, you shall not be afraid of them. You shall remember that the Lord, remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh in Egypt. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them, your enemies, until those who are left, and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. And see, that's how deliverance is. God delivers you little by little. It's really a part of the sanctification process. He doesn't drive the enemy out in one day. It says because they'll become too numerous for you. He does not put an end to them quickly, for the wild beasts would be too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver before you and will throw them into great confusion until they're destroyed. Verse 25, the graven images of their gods you're to burn with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that's on them, nor take it to yourselves, or you will be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Clean your house out of all kinds of icons and creeping images of creeping things, crawling things. Get all of these demonic things out of your house. The more stuff you have, the more demonic oppression in your house. You shall not bring an abomination into your house and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. And let me tell you, parents, don't let your kids wear T-shirts with demonic stuff on them. Find out what the words on the T-shirt mean. Okay? Because that's an accursed thing. In fact, the people that are making things are cursing things all the time, and we're bringing it in our homes. Matthew 18 says, we don't forgive, God will forgive us. We're turned over to the tormentors if we don't forgive. And the tormentors mean, in the Greek, demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. An inquisitor stretches someone on a rack till he gets what he wants. And they still have inquisitors in the occult. Psalms 38 says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your wrath, and chasten me not with your burning anger, for your arrows have sunk deep into me, and your hand has pressed down on me. There's no soundness in my flesh. Why? Because of your indignation. There's no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They weigh too much for me. My words grow foul. My wounds grow foul and fester because of my folly. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden for you. For I am ready to fall, which means die, and my sorrow or my depression is continually before me, for I confess my iniquity. I'm full of anxiety because of my sin. So what I do, I'm full of sin, I have anxiety, I run to a doctor and he gives me nerve pills. I used to have a friend, she was so cute, she was from Guadalajara. She said, I have to take my nerve peelers. Yeah. He said, my husband gets on my nerves so much I wanted to jump over it, she said. She was cute, I'm not making fun of her, I just loved her so much. Okay, Psalms 69:20. Reproach has broken my heart and I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none, and comforters, but found none. Proverbs, Merrill read Proverbs 1:23. God tries to talk to us, and we don't listen, and then he says, I'm not going to listen to you. I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes, like a whirlwind. It says, but he who listens to me shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. What a promise. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of a person is more deceitful than anything else, and desperately sick, who can understand it, because there's stuff down in there we don't see. Things that have been stored our whole lifetime. And you know what's next by what's coming out your mouth and what you're thinking. Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he'll be held with the cords of his sin. In Matthew 18, it says you're wicked if you don't forgive. Proverbs 8:16, but he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion rottens the bones. Passion is anger. It's not talking about sexual sin necessarily, unless you get mad about it, but it means anger, rivalry, jealousy, envy rottens the bones. Romans 1:27 says, and in the same way also the men abandon the natural function of the woman and burn in their desire for one another, men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own penalty the due penalty of their error. It goes on to say they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the creator, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. There's Alzheimer's right there. A reprobate mind. And I personally believe that when somebody's been given over to a reprobate mind, it's irreversible. I could be wrong, but I believe that it's too late. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And the medical profession, and Sharon could probably tell you more about this than me, but they documented how the mind can make the body sick. Mental illness is a curse. Isaiah 1:4-6 says, alas, sinful nation, people weighted down with iniquity, offsprings of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. When will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick from the sole of the foot to the top of the head. And that word sick is not sick. It means to a person who's been flogged in the head. There's mental illness, insanity. Psalm 34, 12, who's the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and some, after longing for it, have pierced them, wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang, which means pierced themselves with many griefs. Proverbs 6:12, a worthless man, a wicked man, is one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart devises evil continually. Therefore his calamity, which means bending down, oppression, misfortune, will come suddenly, instantly. He will be broken to pieces, and there will be no healing. Jeremiah 8:12, were they ashamed because of their abominations they've done? They certainly were not ashamed, and they did not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall. Among those who fall in the time of their punishment shall be brought down. And then the last part of verse 14 says, we waited for peace, but no good came, for a time of healing, but terror, behold terror. My sorrow is beyond healing, my heart is faint within me. God says in Jeremiah 30, I've wounded you with the wounds of an enemy, with the punishment of a cruel one, because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. Why do you cry over your injury? Your pain is incurable because your iniquity is great and your sins are numerous. I have done these things to you. So if you confess your sin, turn away from your sin, healing will come. And it may take a day, it may take a week, it may take a year, it may take 2 years, but your soul will be prospering as you deal with it. And your health will be in proportion to a prospering soul. The church doesn't have a prospering soul, and that is so sad, because they don't deal with their sin. They run to the world and get a band-aid on their spiritual problem. Revelation 22:19, and if anyone takes away from the word of God, the prophecy of this book, God shall take away from him, from the tree of life, from the holy city, which are written in this book. In Deuteronomy, in Numbers chapter 5, if a man thought his wife was committing physical adultery, he would take her to the priest, and the priest would take some dirt off the temple floor, mix it with water, make her drink it. If she was guilty, her stomach would swell and her thigh would waste away. And it says this is the curse of the law of jealousy, that when a woman commits adultery, that her stomach swells, her thigh wastes away, and she's bitter and barren. You say, well, I have a lot of kids, but you can be spiritual barren, spiritual barrenness. And then in Ezekiel 16:38, God talks about a spiritual harlot. You know, when we pray a prayer to receive Jesus as Savior, and our heart goes after other lovers, we have other gods, then what happens is we become a spiritual adulterer against our bridegroom Jesus. So in Ezekiel 16, see if I can find it, in verse 38 says, well, above that it says, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord, a spiritual adulterer. Thus I will judge you like women who commit adultery, or Thus I will judge you like women who commit adultery or shed blood are judged. And I will bring on you the blood of wrath and jealousy. I will give you into the hands of your lovers, and they will tear down your shrines, demolish your high places, strip you of your clothing, and take away your jewels and leave you naked and bare. I will incite a crowd against you. Verse 35, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, behold, your lewdness was poured out and your nakedness uncovered, through your harlotries with your lovers and with all your detestable idols, and because of the blood of your own sons, which you gave to idols. Therefore, behold, I will gather all your lovers with whom you have taken pleasure. He goes on, he says in verse 36, I'm going to judge you like, you're not like a regular prostitute. She gets paid for what she does, but he says in this passage, you pay your lovers. You know, when you make an idol out of a person, You're trying to pay them. You're trying to give favors to them. You're trying to get them to love you. You're serving them. You're doing everything. And let me tell you, they'll always turn on you when you make an idol out of a person. In 2 Chronicles, King Asa, because he led Judah into adultery, it says in the last verse 15, and thou shalt, God gave him great sickness by the disease of his bowels, that his bowels fell out because he led Judah into adultery against God. In Numbers 14, when the children of Israel gave a bad report, God sent a plague on them. When you take the Lord's Supper, we're sinning your life. The Bible says if you don't judge your body rightly, some of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some of you even die. Will even die. How many times have you taken the Lord's Supper with sin in your life? How many times have you had a pastor ever tell you that if you took the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, that you could die, be sick, or be weak? Psalm 31:9. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief. That can be one root to eye problems. My soul and my belly, for my life is spent in grief and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquities, and my bones are consumed. Does God say those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? Psalms 106, it says they despised the pleasant land, speaking of the children of Israel. They did not believe his word. They grumbled in their tents, and they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. And then it says, thus they provoked, in verse 29, they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, when you read the word, Jesus is the word, is that right? And when you read the word, the Bible says the word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. Why is it you can sit and listen to a TV set or listen to a movie and sit there forever, but the word cuts, it burns? And when you read the word, you're creating the presence of Jesus, and it takes the presence of Jesus to get healed, right? Signs and wonders accompany the teaching of his word. 1 Corinthians 10, for now speaking to brethren, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, brethren, so that we will not crave evil things as they crave. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. For let us not act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Now that's the powers of darkness today. They got real snakes and we get spiritual snakes. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. And who's the destroyer? Now these things happened to us as examples, that they were written for our instruction upon whom the ends of the age were come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Well, we don't worship Buddhas. What is the idolatry in our life? Well, you've got to pay attention to me. There's people that don't want to get healed. They're so full of, they want attention so bad that if they got healed, they wouldn't get attention. And so, can I tell you that what makes you mad is an idol? What you fear is an idol. The Bible says what you fear comes upon you. What depresses you is an idol. We get depressed because things don't pan out the way we think they ought to. Anyway, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So any sin is idolatry. But I get angry because you don't love my idol as much as I do. Right? You better bow down to my idol. I want you to pay attention to me. I want you to serve me. I want you to value me. I want you to love me. You can't reject me. You better listen to me. You see all the things that make us mad, push our buttons? Our hot wires are attached to idols. And you can try to cast out anger from now on, but if you don't dismantle that hot wire, it's not going to go. So God says you have to give up your life. The way I do it, Lord, you have this person treating me. If it'll glorify you the most, let it keep happening. But devil, you can't do it. Just keep, you know, something I've had to do that with my grandkids, because when they were little, I spent so much time with them. We had so many fun times. And then they got older and they got busy and they weren't ready for me in some areas. And I just had to give them up. I just said, Lord, if I never see them again, all I ask is one thing, is that they love you with their whole heart. The devil, you can't do it. Because I've been praying for my grandkids for 42 years, and the oldest one's only 28. And I can tell you, I'm getting emails now that I had to totally give it up, and now I just, anyway, David this week has texted me 4 times this week, and I told him, I said, he talked to me an hour the other morning, and I said, I hadn't talked to him in 3 years, more than 5 minutes. But you just have to give it up. When you give up your life, you'll find it, the Word says. And anything that rains on your parade, give it up. Give it up, give it up. That's deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow the Lord. Well, this thing is so long, but I'm going to wrap it up here in a minute, okay? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 9 talks about the harlot. 9:16, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she, the harlot, says. Now, there's a physical harlot that says, turn in here. But there's a voice that talks to you and says, hey, little sin's okay. Turn in here. Wisdom says, walk this way. The harlot says, it's okay. Don't be such a fanatic. It says, but him lacks understanding, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are the depths of Sheol. Proverbs 11:4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:19, he who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life, and he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. Proverbs 19:16, he who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who's careless of his ways will die. Proverbs 21:16, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Proverbs 29:1, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof shall suddenly be broken beyond remedy. I know a man like that. I tried to warn him some years ago to leave certain things alone, and he wouldn't do it. And he got mad at me. I didn't hear from him for 3 or 4 years. And recently he called. He'd broken his back. He slipped on ice and broke his back. And I tell you, the Lord's used that to bring you to repentance. It shall be broken beyond remedy. Ecclesiastes 11:10, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. If you've got pain in your body, it's rooted in vexation, which means grief, anger, wrath, sorrow, hurt, provocation. And it means idolatry. Remove it from your heart and you can get pain out of your body. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. Hosea 5:11, Ephraim, which means double fruit. It means that the Israelites, Ephraim, is oppressed, crushed in judgment because he's determined to follow man's command. Therefore I am like a moth to Ephraim and like rottenness to the house of Judah. Hosea 5:13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and went to King Jareb, but he is unable to heal you or to cure you of your wound. And that's what the church does. They go to Assyria, to King Jareb, to try to get him to heal him. and they can't heal you. If you're sick because you violated the Word of God, nothing's going to heal you till you line up with the Word of God, so you're wasting your money. But that's between you and the Lord, okay? I mean, I'm not trying to sound... If God leads you to do something, be repentant of your sin, whatever you do. That's what I should have said. Okay, these are just plagues that's come on people, and I didn't even do the word plague. I just did plagues, and there's 15 biblical reasons for plagues to be poured out. A plague means to smite. It means stroke. Did you know that? Like people have strokes. It means stroke. It means a sore. It means to be smitten, to be mortally wounded. It means calamity. It means to smite. It means a sore, a blow. It means infestation. It means a spot. It means leprosy. Some biblical reason, adultery, spiritual and physical adultery. In fact, probably God judges sexual sin and idolatry more than anything else in the Word. Sexual sin is idolatry. And the Lord showed me some people have come with stomach problems, and I just saw today in a room that a lot of times the stomach problems could be through sexual sin, depending on where it's at. Okay, adultery, spiritual adultery, Genesis 12:17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. To be stubborn, hard-hearted, refusing to listen to the voice of God and to his commandments. Exodus 9:14, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. The third thing is breaking God's covenant and refusing to repent. Leviticus 26:21. If ye walk contrarily to me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues on you according to your sins. The next thing is a curse for disobedience to the voice of God and his commandments, Deuteronomy 28:59. Then the Lord will make all thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, and great plagues and destruction. Well, not plagues, I'm sorry. And sore sickness and of long continuance. The next thing is turning away from God to serve other gods. Deuteronomy 29:1-22. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see these plagues of the land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and then stiffening the neck and refusing to heed his voice, Jeremiah 19:8, and I will make thy city desolate and a hissing, and everyone that passes thereby shall be astonished and hissed because of the plague thereof. Living after the flesh, Jeremiah 49:17. Also Edom shall be a desolation. Every one that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. Being a part of Babylon, the mother of harlots. Babylon doesn't make disciples, they make little harlots because they don't teach them to deal with their sin. Jeremiah 50:13, because of the wrath of the Lord shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Every one that goes by Babylon shall be astonished and hissed at all her plagues. And the next thing is exalting yourself in pride and you forget the Lord. Hosea 13:14. I'll ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from from death, O death, I will be thy plague, O grave. I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. The next thing is refusing to repent of the works of their hands, idols of silver and gold, worshiping the beast, Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone, and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. The next thing is God's wrath is poured out on those who are not victorious over the beast. Revelation 15:1, and I saw another sign in the heavens, and great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. From them is filled up the wrath of God. And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues, the angels were fulfilled. The next thing is refusing to repent and not giving God glory, blaspheming his name. Revelation 16:9, if you'll go there, please. We just have a few more places to go. Revelation, and then we're going to pray. It says, men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues. You know, sitting in a movie, listening to people blaspheme God, we're participating in it. And they did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his vow on the great river, the Euphrates, and the water was dried up, that the way would be prepared for the kings of the east. And then being a part of Babylon, it tells you in Revelation 18, come out of there, my people, lest you receive of her plagues. Babylon is the church that's not teaching, not making disciples.
Amen.
It's the church that's not teaching the truth.
Yes.
Nowadays, I understand the Pope gave an invitation, and he's a very, very wicked man. He teaches that Jesus Christ, you don't have to believe in Jesus to get to heaven. And yet he's given an invitation to evangelicals to join his one world religion, his one world church, and it's being birthed right now. James Robinson and his wife, and Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland and his wife have gone over to meet with the Pope, and they're saying how this is God that we're unifying. How can you unify with evil? How can light walk with darkness? You can't. Compromise. Not overcoming fear and unbelief. Being abominable, murmurers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars. Revelation 21 says they get plagues. Adding to or taking away from the Word of God brings plagues upon our life. And that's in Revelation 22:18. Healing comes from through repentance and confession of sin. Proverbs 3:5. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. We all have been wise in our own eyes. Fear God. Turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. James 5:14 says, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church, let them anoint with all the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus, will raise up and heal the sick. If they've committed any sins, they will be forgiven them. And we stop right there. It says, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So recently, Carla asked me, she said, Jerry, have you asked Kyle and the elders of the church to anoint you with oil? And I said, well, I think I have, but I'll do it again. But this time I did it different when they anointed with oil. When they were anointing me, I said, no, wait. I started confessing. I've been haughty. I've been prideful. I've been arrogant. I haven't loved. I've sinned with my eyes. I haven't loved people like I should. I've had critical eyes, judgmental eyes. I've sinned with my eyes. And I'm telling you, it's been different ever since. Different in the sense that the faith is there, the greater faith to believe that I'm healed. Before, I mean, it's like God is increasing my faith. I've had to say, God, I really don't have the faith I need to have. But I'm telling you that my faith level picked up after I did that because God's Word said that. And about 6 months ago, the Lord gave me the revelation of that scripture because it says, and all with all the prayer of faithful ways that can heal the sick. And we stop right there. If they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. But it says, confess your sin. So I'm going to do something different, kind of. And I have the prayer team come up here. And we're going to anoint you with oil and prayer team. Just anoint them with oil and pray for them. But don't have to do any long deliverances. But I want y'all to, if you need physical healing, come up here, but be prepared to confess your sin. Okay? So, and that's a way to humble yourself. So if you need healing, come up here, and we'll pray for you. Y'all have oil?
Mm-hmm.
I guess give everybody some oil. If anybody wants prayer. Now, we're not going to do long deliverances, but we're just going to disobey the word. Okay, I'll just want to line up here. I'll just go ahead and pray for us, Carla. Carla, Randy. I tell you, I appreciate this prayer team. They're such a blessing. Yeah, y'all pray for them. And get a bunch of people to pray. That's good. So just be prepared to confess your sin.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.